We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day. Plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career.
I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. He died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to t2t.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Almost Friday Thursday. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio, the Las Vegas studios at South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard, South Point Studios, and the South Point Studio streaming network at YouTube. We welcome you to the show today, and we welcome all of our listeners running around town this morning, listening to us on the radio, maybe your car radio, and of course our anchor radio station here in town, Sports Talk 1400 AM 107.1 FM as well. And of course all of our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas, .world, .global, bada bing, bada bong, all of them. And of course, wherever you get your podcasting, and we have not forgot about your devices, your iPhones, Androids, or Google phones. Get your apps at your app store, the KSHP app. Of course, you can listen through the radio station and the YouTube app. You can see and hear us through the YouTube site as well. So we welcome you no matter how you get us, whenever you get us, and whenever, etc. Okay. Well, I want to thank Jonathan Hardoon for that nice winner yesterday on a kind of an, you know, a low day. Usually Wednesdays are not a big day for looking for picks, but Jonathan came through yesterday at Tampa Bay, gave us a nice $17.60 winner. And you know, when I talk about our handicappers, which I believe are the best group of handicappers on the air today. I always remind you that what they do on the show is just a tip of the iceberg of all the hard work that these guys put in, and that you should really, once in a while, if you take a notion, buy their product and try them out. And I guarantee you, if you do, you're going to stick with them, because Jonathan's not only gave us a winner in the sixth race yesterday at Tampa Bay Downs, that, again, winner paid $1,760, but on his handicapping sheet, he had the second, third, and fourth place finishers, second, third, and fourth on his handicapping sheet, okay? And so if you did that on his sheet yesterday, the dollar exacta paid $88. The 50-cent trifecta paid $265.30, and the 10-cent super, paid $192.78. So what I'm just trying to tell you is that our handicappers, they work hard for us. When they look at their picks and they give out their picks on the show, they give us picks that they really do have a full confidence in picking them for winners, because that's their reputation. I mean, that's what their reputation is based on. But remember one thing, it's just a sliver of all the work they do. So I want to thank Jonathan for that. By the way, Gulfstream Park, the first race winner paid $56.40. It was the first of two wins on the day for Jose Morelos. He got $56. Then the second race paid $7.60, third race $4.80, fourth race $9.40, and the fifth race paid was a short price too. I didn't write it down, but anyhow, it was a short price. It was the fourth. It was 6-5 on the morning line, so he's odds on. Now, you put all of those together, and the pick five paid $1,903.65. Nice payoff, right? How important was that long shot in the first race at 56.40? Well, the pick four in the following four races paid $51.15, a difference of, for the same 50-cent layout, difference of $1,852.50. Bada-bing, huh? And by the way, that first race winner, Morales, got his second race of the day in the seventh race. Jose Morales won that race paying $17.40, and he rode the two highest payoffs of the day on the card with that first and seventh race winners. The star of the day was Jose Ortiz. Didn't have a mount in the first race, that $56 horse, but then he reeled off the next four races in a row. He was the pick four, that $51 pick four. He won the second race for Todd Pletcher at $7.60, the third race for Jose Pinchon that paid $4.80, came back in the fourth race for Jose Pinchon again. Back-to-back wins for that trainer. That paid $9.40, and Ortiz's fourth win was in that fifth race, the final in the pick five. Big day there for Ired Ortiz Jr. and jockey Jose Morales. The pick six yesterday, Gulfstream paid $4,564.88. So, want to thank Jonathan and all of the hard work that he did yesterday for us, and of course, those races at Gulfstream yesterday. Now, remember, here's what's happening this week. We've got Gulfstream Park that's going to close its championship meeting on Sunday, which means there's going to be mandatory payoffs on Sunday at Gulfstream. Hawthorne Racecourse opens today. Okay, Hawthorne Racecourse opens today. Not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday will be the Dubai World Cup. That's on the 5th of April. And it's going to be a big day of racing on that 5th of April, because all of those big races at Dubai World Cup will be early in the morning. And then we have those two final major, make it three final major Kentucky Derby prep races around the country, the Wood Memorial, the Santa Anita Derby, amongst them, all right? And at Keeneland, the Bluegrass, because Keeneland will open on the 4th of April, on Friday the 4th of April, 1 week from tomorrow, Keeneland will open. And the Lexington Stakes, which is the last of the Kentucky Derby point-getting stakes races, only 20 points on it, but that's that leverage stakes, case horses are on the cusp. That race will come up on the 12th of April. So we got a lot of good stuff happening early part of next month as we wind down this month of March. Also on Friday, this coming Friday, Santa Anita kicks in tomorrow, and it will have a pick six carryover. It was carried over from Sunday. The pick six carryover tomorrow at Santa Anita, $71,789 for that. And all I can say is that those are some of the things that are happening on the calendar. We're wrapping up Gulfstream on Sunday. And, of course, Keeneland is Turfway Park will be wrapping up. And then Keeneland will start next week on the 4th of April. So it's going to be a big, big deal there. All right. All I can tell you is right now, I think the Florida Derby is a jockey jinx. Okay? Yeah, as you know, Junior Alvarado got hurt the other day. So his horse will be now ridden by Franco. Manny Franco is going to ride the favorite in the Florida Derby. Tyler Gaffleon, that was set to ride Bob Baffert's horse in the Florida Derby on Saturday, Matican Road, was injured yesterday as well at Gulfstream Park. In the his horse in the fourth race, on the way to the starting gate in the warm-up, something happened, but his horse flipped and pinned Gaffleon's left ankle against the railing, the inside railing of the racetrack, and he broke his ankle. Broken left ankle for Tyler Gaffleon. They said initially that he'd be out indefinitely. His agent tweeted out later that he's going to be gone probably 4 weeks or so. Now, Gaffleon out of the Florida Derby as well as Alvarado, which means that Bob Baffert had to start searching for a jockey. Late yesterday, it came word that Mike Smith is going to fly out from Southern California to ride Matican Road in the Florida Derby at Gulfstream Park on Saturday. So two horses have very good chances of being there in the Florida Derby have gotten new jockeys now because of their riders getting hurt during the days leading up to it at Gulfstream Park. And I want to remind you, too, that Tyler Gaffleon is right now second in the jockey standings at Gulfstream Park behind Irad Ortiz Jr. And he had a full slate of mounts on Saturday. 14 races are set to go Saturday at Gulfstream. Gaffleon had a mount in every one of the 14 races. So there's going to be a lot of jockey changes on his horses come Saturday at Gulfstream Park. Gaffleon out about 4 weeks. All right. Other news as far as the Kentucky Derby is concerned, Todd Pletcher. Now, Todd Pletcher has had at least one horse in every Kentucky Derby except one since the turn of the century, okay? The last 25 years, he's had a representative in the Kentucky Derby in every one except one. And now he's got the run going 21 straight derbies. But he is in jeopardy of not having one this year because his horses this weekend all need to gain enough Kentucky Derby points to make the field. So Pletcher's kind of up against the wall as clock ticks away on his horses getting enough points to make it into the Kentucky Derby. That would be real strange not to have Todd Pletcher in the Kentucky Derby this year. Journalism is worked with his stablemate endlessly as he gets ready for the Santa Anita Derby coming up a week from Saturday. A nice workout there for trainer Mike McCarthy. And as far as the others, Cole Battle is having a ball heading into the Arkansas Derby. This horse is very happy, they say, in the mornings. Cole Battle in the mornings there. And Barnes, who had a disappointing race. He finished second, more than nine lengths while finishing second in the Grade 2 San Felipe on March 1st. Bob Baffert's going to stick with blinkers on this horse. He's not taking the blinkers off. He's going to keep them on even after a disappointing drill with this horse. So I don't know what's up with that, but you should never second-guess Bob Baffert on that one. And Bullard, a horse that's been on and off a list of a lot of people for the Kentucky Derby, he's going to head to the Lexington Stakes, that last race on the Kentucky Derby leaderboard that has 20 points. He'll go in the Lexington Stakes on April the 12th at Keeneland. And so just a little bit of an update on some of the horses leading up to the Kentucky Derby. And finally, today, March Madness continues. This is the second weekend of it. We are now into the Sweet 16, and by the time the dust settles on Sunday evening, we'll get down to the Final Four. So there's a lot of college basketball action starting up again today. And then finally, it is opening day for Major League Baseball. Baseball is back, ladies and gentlemen. I can see there was a big crowd out there screaming and yelling. But anyhow, today is the opening day of baseball. Okay, got all of that out of the way. Time to get started with our handicappers. We got Jonathan Hardoon standing by. Rich Engel will be along with us. He's got a pick for today's college basketball action as well. John Linda will be with us. He has a sheet for Gulfstream Park today available here at the South Point. John Linda's Linda Report for Gulfstream Park is available today. And, of course, we'll have a pick from him as well. And Jerry Jackowitz will be along with us for another thought about how you handle your money when you wager on the races. All right, all of that good stuff and your racing menus coming up. So we'll take our first break on this Almost Friday Thursday on this opening day of baseball. We'll be right back. Don't go away, and don't forget to start chatting on the chat room at YouTube. Get to our page, and then just subscribe if you haven't already. It's free, and then you can start chatting away, and they are chatting away on the chat box right now. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Las Vegas. If you're thinking about coming up and enjoying some all the action here in the race and sports book in Las Vegas here at the South Point this weekend, our weather looks something like this. Today, we've got 64 right outside right now, 64 degrees, and it's going to get up to 84 today. Now, we got the 90 yesterday, but here's the deal. We got some wind coming in, so it's going to cool down things. And for the rest of the weekend, we're going to be in the mid-60s overnight, high 50s, mid-60s overnight, and it's going to get into the 70s during the daytime. But as we always say, it's fast, firm, and perfect, and always perfect here in the race and sports books, and certainly here at the South Point as well. So that's the weather. Right now, the only action going on is a little bit on the Gulf of America, on the coastline there at Texas, at the Texas border of the Gulf. And some action going on in Illinois. And there is another system that's working its way through the northwest over Colorado and, I'm sorry, over Washington and Oregon, making its way through Colorado in the Midwest. And we're just worrying about the timing of this front that's going to come through. They say it's going to come past Arkansas, where the big Oaklawn Park and the big racing card on Saturday at Oaklawn is, but it looks like that system won't get there in time. It'll get there after the big racing card on Saturday. Fingers crossed that it doesn't pick up any speed there. And as far as the rest of the country today, it looks pretty good. Looks pretty good for the racing centers. As I say, we're going to get up to 84 degrees with a little wind today. Miami's 80 degrees. They'll get up to 80. Tampa Bay, wow, 87. Okay, New York City, sunny and 53 degrees. Chicago, a little bit of clouds and rain there at 55. Phoenix, Arizona, the sun will be beaten down strong at 92 degrees. Southern California and Los Angeles, 67. And again, I say here in Las Vegas, we're going to get up to 84 degrees. Now let's get started with the racing menu of racetracks available today in the Racebook, simulcast centers and racetracks around the country. We remind you that the first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone. If you're here in Las Vegas, these will be the first post times rolling out in our Racebook today. If you are listening on the many different time zones around the world, well, you know what to do. Just adjust from the Pacific time zone to whatever one you're in, and then you'll get it right. You won't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad. All right, here we go. We begin with Mahoning Valley Racecourse. Mahoning Valley Racecourse has 8 races today. They have a first post time with a pick six jackpot carryover of $8,131 set at 9:15 at Mahoning Valley today. Gulfstream Park getting into the final days of their championship meeting. This Thursday card sees 9 races on the tab. Gulfstream Park's Rainbow Pick Six jackpot carryover stands at $89,926 today. $89,926. That's the carryover today. Remember, if it escapes a single ticket, on closing day Sunday, it'll be a mandatory payoff for the best tickets and all the money. First post time today at Gulfstream is at 9:50. Sunland Park is next. They've got 9 races at Sunland. They got a small carryover there in the Super High 5 and Pick 5. They got a regular Pick 5 carryover, $189. Their Super High 5 carryover, $224. And a first post time at Sunland Park today for their 9 races is set at 11:25. Next comes Hawthorne Racecourse. It's opening day at Hawthorne in Chicago. Opening day at Hawthorne today. They've got 7 races on their opening day, and their first post time is at 12:40. 12:40 at Hawthorne today. Turf Paradise has 9 races. Turf Paradise, first 2 races will be quarter horse races. The last 7 will be thoroughbreds. And Turf Paradise has a first post time with a carryover in the Pick 6 jackpot of $12,511 set at 12:55. 12:55 first post, Turf Paradise. Then we go to Penn National. Penn Nat has 10 races. Wow, they got 10 races today at Penn National, making up for some of those lost races on those cancellation days. Penn National's first post time is set at 2:45. Then you have Turfway Park. Still has full fields at Turfway. 8 races at Turfway Park. They got a nice little carryover in the Pick 6 jackpot of $13,356. That's at Turfway today. And their first post time at Turfway Park for their 8 races is set at 2:55. We wrap it up with Charlestown. Charlestown Races, their first post time at Charlestown with a Pick 6 jackpot carryover of $74,963. First post time is at 4 p.m. today at Charlestown for their 8 race card. All right. Just want to remind everybody out there, just in case, the coverage, if you like the coverage that NBC has on the Breeders' Cup, you'll be happy to know that they renewed their contract with Breeders' Cup, and the Breeders' Cup home television home will be on NBC networks through 2030. Okay, let's go to Jonathan Hardoon standing by. Jonathan, congratulations. Good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. That was a nice little score you had on the show, but more importantly, on your sheet, you racked them up, first 4.
Yeah. We got lucky, and they actually ran well, and the horse ran well. Nothing wrong with the $17 winner.
No, not at all. And the key about this is we're always complaining about it going lower than the morning line. Well, yesterday, to be all fair and honest about it, being balanced here, the odds went up. He closed at 7-1 and paid 17 and change.
Well, it was a full field, and I guess people had other options, so it worked out.
Yeah. Well, IRAD's doing a number at Gulfstream Park, that's for sure. But what about this cloud that's hanging over the Florida Derby with the jockeys getting injured before the race?
Yeah, every year we worry about horses making it to the Derby. Well, this year we have to worry about jockeys making it to the Derby because, you know, as it gets closer, like the last week in April, all these guys that are on live horses, well, they're not going to split horses and dive to the rail. They kind of take the more cautious route as they get closer to the Derby. But
yeah,
this is a terrible thing that happened.
If the opening isn't as wide to drive a Mack truck through, they may just wait until after the Derby to do that. But in any case, it's a shame for Tyler Gaffney. He's having such a great year. Off of last year too. He's a very talented rider, Tyler Gaffney. And I believe, as you and I were talking yesterday, I believe this is the first time he's ever had a mount for Bob Baffert, and now he won't get it. I did not see the incident, but they tell me that it happened like
in the post parade.
Yeah,
in the post parade. That's what happened. The sad news is, Ralph, I mean, you know, I don't know how they say he's going to be back in a month. You know, people that have ever had any ankle injuries, those take, unfortunately, a lot longer than a month to heal. Every time you step on a crack in the sidewalk, you're going to be 5 feet in the air from the pain. So, you know, hopefully, I don't know if he's going to have surgery or whatever it is, or maybe it's not quite that bad. But to call it a broken ankle usually takes more than a month.
It does, and I have personal experience from that when in another lifetime, when I was a youngster galloping horses, I had a spell in a workout with some other horses. They were 2-year-olds at the time. And when I hit the ground, one of the ones behind me stepped, not directly on, but stepped on my ankle and broke my ankle. And so in those days, you didn't have the advanced medicine that you have now and all of that. So in those days, they put me in the cast up to my knee, and I had to walk around that cast.
You're lucky they didn't shoot you.
Yeah, I walked around that cast for six weeks, almost 2 months.
Yeah.
But what people don't realize is your ankle is a joint. And when your body heals itself, it fuses everything. So it doesn't discern one thing from another. So when it's finally healed, at least in those days, maybe they have some kind of method or medicine now that helps out, your ankle is kind of fused, and then you have to go to physical therapy to break it up as well to get your ankle moving again. And to this day, I still have a calcium spur in that joint.
Yeah, so, that's why when they say a month, they're really being optimistic. Listen, hopefully it's really true, but I find it hard to believe.
Well,
personally,
we do have advance in medicine, and of course, he won't be put in a cast now. I guess he's already in some kind of brace or whatever. But in those days, and I'll tell you that it wasn't the pain, because once you get it in the cast, the pain kind of goes away. You're just healing. But it was the craziness of having an itch down there and getting the
hanger
down there and do it. But if he has a brace, he'll be okay. But in any case, it is a shame. And I guess Baffert is going to fly out Mike Smith to ride the horse in the Florida Derby.
Yeah, I don't think Baffert has problems finding riders.
No.
He could probably call anyone in the middle of the night and they will sign up.
But remember that Gaffney had a full day of work. He had all 14 races he had a mount in. So there's 13 other races that those trainers got to look for mounts. And don't forget that, Gulfstream Park has 10 stakes races out of the 14. So it's going to be interesting with other jockeys get to it, that's for sure. But in any case, it is kind of sad. But that's trials and tribulations of horse racing, that's for sure. We're glad that he's okay and that the horse is okay, too. What about Pletcher, man? He's the sands of time are running out on this guy, huh?
Yeah, and it's amazing because people don't realize how many two-year-olds he really, you know, Rapoli goes and spends all kinds of money. He's got owners that put all kinds of money into the game. He's kind of nonchalant about it, to be honest with you. If I make it, I make it. If I don't, I don't. Well, I would have liked a little more stern and optimistic attitude. But, you know, when you're Todd Pletcher, you get to do what you want.
Let's take a quick look and just an oversee, because I know that on Saturday we'll be going over those races at Gulfstream, but a quick overlook at the horses for the Kentucky Oaks prep. After all, remember, these fillies are going for 100 points in the Gulfstream Park Oaks and in the Fantasy at Oaklawn. Taking a look at the Gulfstream Park Oaks on Saturday, 7 are entered in the race. And I guess the Queen's MG is kind of the horse that stands out, the filly that stands out in this race, don't it?
Yeah, but she's stretching out to two turns. This is going to be something new for her. Last time she won at a mile at Gulfstream. Now she's going to have to go that extra 16th of a mile. I kind of like 5G a little bit in there, Ralph. George Weaver sends out this horse. Last time out, she won at Oaklawn Park from the 13 post. She didn't win. She ran second, but she ran very well. And there was another horse in there, the Shug McGahey horse, Cassier, who had one career start. You don't see McGahey go from a maiden special weight and throw him right into a stake race. So obviously they have high hopes for that horse. And she won at Tampa, so that's interesting. But I think 5G is going to be the horse to beat in there, and I think that's the horse I'm going to end up liking.
Well, Shug has taken a page out of Bob Baffert with Corcopion going in the Arkansas Derby.
Yeah.
You know, there is an interesting horse in that the race, and that is, of course, Safi Joseph Jr. has Paradise City in it, breaking from the rail. So I'd like to see what happens there. And you're talking about 5G. That's one of the horses that Tyler Gaffleone had a mount on. So we're waiting to see who will be the replacement rider for the horse that you like, 5G, in that race, because Gaffleone had the mount and no longer has it. Fantasy Stakes at Oaklawn Park. Now the fantasy.
By the way, Ralph, just back to the Gulfstream race, there are seven horses entered. It's kind of like California East, because Safi Joseph, three of the seven.
There
so
you
he's
go.
Pulling off effort.
There you go. Well, the Fantasy Stakes has a little bit more. They got 10 fillies going in that race for $750,000 and 100 points for the Kentucky Oaks. And in that race, the 8-5 favorite there is Simply Joking. D. Whitworth, Beckman's trainee, Jaime Torres aboard. And, of course, Quiet Side with Jose Ortiz is the close second choice at 2-1 on the morning line.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Quiet Side looks to be the best horse in that race. John Ortiz, who for years has done very, very well at Oaklawn, 6 for 100 at the meet. That's not a John Ortiz type meet. But this horse did win for him last time out, and Jose Ortiz rode, and he's going to ride back. And this is another one that won from a tough outside post. Not easy winning from the 12th post at a mile and a 16th there, but she ran very well. She's on the improve. She's a short price, but she looks like the horse to beat.
Do you know if they are related at all, John and...
I have no idea.
John and Jose and Irad, they're all Ortiz.
A family affair. And throwing the Rices because he's related to the Rices.
Gosh. What a lineage. Talk about breeding. Look at that breeding line. In any case, a couple of the biggie trainers, the coach, Dwayne Lucas, has Princess Alaya in there at 12-1. And you can never leave out Steve Asmussen, who gets Flavian Pratt to ride a 20-1 shot that he has in the race, running and gunning. Now, we know Pratt's going to be there later on to ride that maiden
right.
in the Arkansas Derby. But Asmussen's got him on this horse at 20-1. What do you say about that?
Well, she's a little slow on the figure. She would have to improve. But obviously, it's first time for Pratt, so that's always important. I mean, his kid's been riding this horse, and then the last few times they had a different rider on. Listen, the horse is at a gun runner, so she's going to get better with distance. But Pratt on a 20-1 shot, always dangerous.
Pratt on anything is dangerous.
Right.
All right. Time to parlay that pick from yesterday to another winning pick today. So he's got a nice chunky bankroll to go into the weekend.
All right, Ralph, we're going to look at the eighth race today. It's 6 furlongs on the main track, and there's an interesting horse in here, number 3, Air Combat. This is a 6-year-old from the Marty Drexler barn. Now, Drexler's had an awful lot of success at Gulfstream. Most of his winners come on Tapeta, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about this horse is that he claimed this horse in Canada last December, and in Canada, all they run on is Tapeta and on turf. And he brought the horse to Florida, and where did he run this horse? On the dirt. The horse is 2'2" in his last two starts, both of them for Drexler. He knew what he was doing when he claimed this horse. This is a dirt horse, not a Tapeta, not a turf horse, and he proved it. He's 2-2" in his last two starts. He's listed at 9-2" on the morning line today. Johnny V rides. I like number 3, Air Combat, to win today's eighth race at Gulfstream Park.
All right. This is at Gulfstream Park, and in the eighth race, 3-horse Air Combat is your play. John Velasquez aboard. By the way, the 8-5 favorite in that race, Into Pleasure, was scheduled to be ridden by Tyler Gaffleone. He'll get another rider there. And it won't be Irad Ortiz Jr. unless they scratch his horse in the race. So the 3-horse Air Combat, John Velasquez aboard in the eighth race at Gulfstream. The 3 is the key. And, of course, you got one full sheet today, and that is at Gulfstream Park. But remember, folks, he'll be working hard. 14 races at Gulfstream and all those races around the country. And at Oaklawn Park, you'll have full sheets for Oaklawn, Gulfstream, Santa Anita, and Aqueduct on Saturday. But for today, Gulfstream Park.
JONHARDOON.com. Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jonathan, for the winner yesterday and another one today. Let's hope. Okay, we'll be right back with Rich Eng. Don't go away and start chatting.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village. This beautiful building that is going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas' top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas. Time to go out to Rich Eng, standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, here's the second big weekend of March Madness. We are into the Sweet 16, and we've got, eight teams in four different games today. And, of course, that will lead up to, by the time we get to Sunday, there'll only be four teams left. But there's a lot of work yet to go. And, of course, the Sweet 16 is really the weekend that a lot of really good games and good teams are left to play, right?
Yeah, a lot of evenly matched teams. We had a lot of favorites doing well the first two rounds of the tournament. And, a lot of the power conferences are still representative. There's really no Cinderellas left, meaning from the mid-majors. So it's power against power now in these final 16.
I know that you have a pick for us today in college hoops, but at the moment, if we look at the 16 left to do battle before we get to Sunday, the biggest surprise out of that 16 that are still alive.
Well, it's got to be Arkansas. I mean, they upset my, I started the tournament with six future book bets on colleges, all at good prices. I'm down to two, Ralph. Mm-hmm. And incredibly enough, they're playing each other. Mississippi against Michigan State. So I am going to get one of my teams to the final eight. But I did go out and shop for price among the other teams. Mm-hmm. And the team I bought a ticket on was Houston to win the national championship. I found them at $5.50 at a book in town. So I put some money on them. So right now I'm rooting for Houston, and I'm rooting for the winner of the Ole Miss and Mississippi game, Ole Miss and Michigan State game. And as far as a pick for today, Ralph, I'm going to try to get revenge against the team that beat St. John's. Arkansas, I'm going to go with their opponent, Texas Tech. They're -5.5. And I tell you what, Texas Tech is going to be able to score the ball a lot better than St. John's did. St. John's shot about 26-27% from the field. Texas Tech's a lot better than that, and they play very good defense. Arkansas, I'm kind of hoping Cinderella's slipper falls off for them. Texas Tech, Red Raiders, Ralph.
All right, Texas Tech, Red Raiders today for Richie's pick in college hoops. And Richie, we'll take a pick from you for horse racing if you got one.
Yeah, you know, I want to thank Jonathan. That was a nice winner, and as you aptly described, the horse went up in odds when they crossed the finish line. Very unusual when you bet a horse and get better odds at the finish than at the start. Let's go to Turfway Park, race number 6, Rob, a mile on the taffeta. Let's go to number 4, First Strike. I've had a lot of luck with Adam Biskitza on the turf there, or on the taffeta. And I think his riding style really fits. He likes to sit and finish. This horse should be closing well for Paula Lobo. 4-1 to square price for First Strike in the 6th.
6th race, number 4, First Strike. We hope he's first under the finish line and with the official sound as official sign as well. So in the 6th race, you like the 4, First Strike. That's your play at 4-1 as well. 6th race at Turfway Park. Number 4, First Strike. And, of course, you'll be back in business with your selections for Santa Anita tomorrow. And of course, continuing to watch the college hoops action as well. And, Richie, don't forget, it's opening day of baseball, buddy.
You know, I do play rotisserie baseball. It's the fantasy baseball league. I've been playing it for about 30 years. So we had our draft the other night. And so I got a ball club, Ralph. I'm ready to go.
And, you know, Richie, I remember when we were working at Turfway Park, that was right across from Cincinnati, Ohio. And, of course, the Cincinnati Reds is the cornerstone of opening day in baseball. And we used to go to the opening day of baseball there every year we were there, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, I was pretty good friends with Pete Rose because he used to come to Turfway quite often during the winter. And so Pete had an outlet for us whenever we wanted to go to a game. Just give his person a call, and we'd get nice seats. So, of course, Pete, rest in peace. And eventually, Mr. Rose should get in the Hall of Fame. That's my humble opinion.
Yeah, well, it's well overdue, that's for sure. And that's a whole other bailiwick there. But my opinion is the same. He should have been there the first year he was eligible to do so. Case closed. All right, thanks a lot, Richie. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Good luck, everybody.
All right, and we'll go to our final break. And when we come back after that break, we've got John Lindo and Jerry J standing by.
If you're celebrating a special occasion or just love fine dining, you're in the right place. Come experience the crown jewel of South Point restaurants, Michael's Gourmet Room.
Welcome.
With over 600 different types of wines and magnificent dishes prepared tableside, you'll revel in the rich classic Vegas decor and the best black tie service in the world. This intimate gourmet room has earned accolades galore. Come to Michael's Gourmet Room for an unforgettable dining experience. Another famous restaurant is the Silverado Steakhouse, where you'll find the charm and service that discerning patrons require. From top quality steaks and chops to fresh seafood and desserts, you'll love the award-winning wine list and menu at Silverado Steakhouse. Steak lovers have even more options with primarily prime rib. Catering to hearty appetites, the menu features a variety of flavorful prime rib cuts, dry aged to ensure tenderness, and then seasoned and slowly roasted. Although prime rib is our specialty, it's not the only thing on the menu. There's something for everyone.
Exciting nighttime action continues at Los Alamitos with another great weekend of racing at the track of Sunsets and Stars. This Saturday night, we'll have a Pick 6 carryover of more than $55,000. And with the new money to be wagered, the total pool could be around $175,000. It's a big Saturday night of racing at Los Alamitos. We're all about the horse players. With a Pick 6 carryover of more than $55,000 at Los Alamitos Racecourse.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on Race Day Las Vegas and in our final segment of the Almost Friday Thursday show. Looking ahead to this weekend, it's going to be fun, and next weekend as well. Now we're getting into the nitty-gritty on the road to the Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks. Our man in Southern California, John Lindo, standing by. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. Happy the opening day.
Yeah, baseball's opening day. You got the Angels right down the street from you, and, of course, the Dodgers as well. And so a lot of action going on in L.A. as far as baseball is concerned, and there's going to be a lot of action there next weekend, not this coming Saturday, but next weekend with the Santa Anita Derby, et cetera. But I hope we get the jockeys to survive the Santa Anita Derby more than the ones that are surviving the Florida Derby right now.
Well, you know, we had a couple guys leave. We have Kimura coming back off an injury. So it's an ever-changing, evolving situation, Ralph. You know that. And as we get into April, a lot of those guys will be heading back east for the Keeneland and the Churchill meets with the trying to chase the stakes horses out there.
Well, I know you've been kind of on a light schedule so far this week, but you do have a Linda report today for Gulfstream Park. And I know you've got a lot of work coming up this weekend with the Linda report to cover all the action at the two major events.
Yeah, tomorrow, well, Gulfstream Park today, which is off the turf. It was, and to be honest with you, Ralph, I have no idea why it didn't rain. No. I'm assuming they're trying to protect the tired turf course for Florida Derby Day. But if that's the case, why even bother carding turf races in the first place?
Absolutely.
There's nothing between,
we don't
nothing between now and then that could have changed it.
Yeah, we don't mind that they make the decision to save the course for the big day. But if you have a pre-notion to do that, why have the handicappers go through all this work and then change? Just take it off the turf to begin with. Don't write races for the turf course. And so today, the second race, the sixth race, and the ninth race will be off the turf. And we will assume that if they did schedule any for tomorrow on the turf, that's probably going to be the same thing. So we'll keep it at that. And, of course, you'll have so you got Gulfstream today. And what about the weekend as far as – I know you're going to do Santa Anita, Linda report, but anything extra?
Yeah, Santa Anita tomorrow. And then Saturday we'll have the full cards from Santa Anita, from Oaklawn Park for the Arkansas Derby card, and for Gulfstream Park for that Florida Derby card. And then Sunday we'll do Santa Anita, and we'll also do the last six at Gulfstream. It's the end of the champions meet on Sunday, and that's when they have a mandatory payout again in that Rainbow Six.
All righty. Good enough. A lot of work yet to go for you guys. Want to ask you about this. Now, we're talking about the changing complexion of racing in the state of California, big state and a lot, you know, a good cornerstone in the horse racing industry here in America. And we know what's going on with Northern California. Pleasanton fell apart. Now we got just a small meeting at Fresno. Golden Gate, Bay Meadows are gone. Southern California, Hollywood Park is gone. And now we got Del Mar, Santa Anita, and short meets at Los Alamitos. So much so that I think the breeders are now taking a really long look, the California breeding farms or California breeds taking a long look at what's going on in California, because, Rancho San Miguel, which is one of the big breeding farms in the state of California, I understand is up for sale now. And one of the reasons for that California sale is because of the breeding operation in California. They believe that it's not looking good as far as their product getting out and racing in California to take advantage of being a cowbred.
Well, absolutely. Tom Clark is their owner and their operator there. He's a good guy. He loves the horses, but with less opportunities for these horses to run. And Rancho San Miguel last year bred 20% of the California foal crop that's coming up. You lose another 20% out of the foal crop, and think about the numbers that we need to make racing go on a daily basis. It's not a good sign, and it's not this gentleman's fault. He believes in horse racing, but it's got to be a business. And so it's a sign. This is the trickle down of all the things that are going on with the decisions being made at the racetracks in California.
And remember, that trickle down from those breeding farms, the trickle down stops at us, the paying customer, the gambler. So keep that in mind, folks. All right, what are we doing today, John?
Well, I'm going to call an audible. The original play I had was On the Grass, which is now off. So I'll go to the seventh race, which was always on Tapita. Seventh race today, number eight, I Never Lie, drops out of a straight maiden race in for a claiming tag, has speed. I like the outside post where you can grab some position here in this short sprint. And I just think this horse is well meant on the drop. Had Tyler Gaffalione. Now the change in riders, Edgar Zayas is going to pick up the call. So that's a good sign. 5-2 on the program, on or near the lead all the way. Number eight, I Never Lie, race number seven, Gulfstream Park.
All right. And as you say, Edgar Zayas is going to pick up the mount in the seventh race. You like the eight, I Never Lie. The eight, I Never Lie there. And as we get in the final days, a quick look at the jockey trainer standings.
Yeah, the jockeys and trainers leaders have been decided. Arad Ortiz had four yesterday. He's got 101 wins at the meet. Tyler Gaffalione second with 73. Luis Saez with 67. As far as the trainers go, Safi Joseph wrapped up the title a long time ago. He's got 65 winners. Jose D'Angelo's got 37. Mark Cassie rounds out the top three. He's got 34. And for you, Ralph, favorites are right on the norm, 34% for the meet.
That's what I like to hear. I just keep it normal, and that'll be fine for us. That's for sure. All right, Saturday, 14 races at Gulfstream. And the first post time is going to be early at 8:30 a.m. Pacific time. And, of course, mandatory payout on all the pools on Sunday for closing day. I know you're going to be busy, John, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, get back to work now. All right, good luck today, Ralph.
You got it, my man. Thanks a lot. Okay, let's go to Jerry Jackowitz for a final word on what we should do with our bankroll, Jerry.
Hey, good morning, Ralph. You know, I'm thinking that I should send an illustration over, and so you can put up a visual for the people out there on how to make a exacta bet that emulates a win bet and proportionate for each element of the leg. So
okay,
you have the 1-2.
So what you're saying is when you do an exacta bet to emulate a win bet, it right. depends on the odds of the horses that you're putting in the exacta and the amounts of money that will change?
Well, really on the payouts. So, right. you know, you, yeah.
Which
you have the advantage.
Right now, mostly.
Right, right. It's a fairly easy thing to do. So I'll make one up and I'll send it in, and maybe Wednesday you can put it up on the screen
okay.
while we're talking.
All right. But the essence of this, then is that the exacta wagers in a particular race will not
right.
all be of the same amount, correct?
They'll be, that's why we call it a weighted wheel.
Uh-huh.
And this is something that you can do yourself. You should do this. I mean, I'm going to give you an illustration of what I do every time I've ever made a bet since for 40 years.
Mm-hmm. When do you make this decision, Jerry? Because, you know, there's a lot that happens in the period of betting in a race, in the period of the betting. So when do you make this decision?
I usually do it. I usually do one around, I don't know, 8 minutes to post, 7, 8, 10, you know, it depends. And then I do another one around 2-3 minutes. I just go down to see how much they've changed.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes it actually can help you understand when sometimes a horse is getting too much money, you know, getting a lot of money.
Right.
And
yeah.
you know, we've talked, I mean, I've never been one for charting all the, you know, there's guys who chart all the exactas or did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I, that's not me. But once I've decided on my play, I'm into it, but then sometimes something comes up that says, you know, maybe I want to back off or maybe I want to press up a number. And depends on, you know, you have to have information to make decisions. That's all.
All right, Jerry, let me ask you this now. With the new CAW situation that's going on for the win bets, anyhow, that we can see, in your experience now, how much of a change in the actual payoff from the last time you see the projected payoff of those exactas, just as an example? Do you ever get short and sit there and say, what the heck happened? This thing, when I saw it, was paying $25. Now I'm getting 18, something like that.
Right. Yeah, sure. Sure. That's part of it. That's really part of it. You know, you have to have a feel for how to manage the play. I mean, there's no easy answer for that, mm-hmm. but yes, that does happen. But I want to – sharp money is not right 100% of the time.
Okay.
And so every time that they're right and they've kind of taken a little money out of your pocket, there are times when they're wrong and they're putting more money into your pocket when you're right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an automatic thing. And the other thing about it is, you know, money is is sharper with one horse than it is with two horses than it is with three horses. So because we're playing exactas, and I'll even show you a way that you can play it with trifectas, you build out the probabilities in your favor by doing this.
Okay. Well, that's nice to know. I mean, you know, it's you know, like we always say on the show, half of winning at the races is picking the winning horse. The other half is your money management and where to place your money and what pools to play in, place it in. So we're trying to help out there as well, and Jerry's helping us out with that. In the meantime, we're going to wrap up this show by reminding you that we'll be back on Friday As they will say a little bit later on, play ball. In the meantime, Jerry's got one more thing to say.
And yeah, we got Russell Wilson, which is, I think, a good thing. Have a great race day, everybody.